The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently announced that cases of sexually transmitted disease are at an unprecedented high in the United States. Last year saw a big increase. According to that CDC report, the rise comes at a time when local STD programs have experienced budget cuts, leading to the closure of over 20 health department clinics in 1 year alone. Dr. Kristen Sharp joins us now. She's an OBGYN with UW Health. Dr. Sharp, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So what kinds of sexually transmitted diseases did we see this big jump in the most recent data? This is looking at 2015.
Yeah, the reports point to chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis all seeing a significant increase. And with STD reporting, those are the main ones that are mandated reporting. So things such as herpes or HPV or trichomonas are not mandated reported. So we don't have kind of up-to-date information about the increases in that.
Why do you think we're seeing this substantial jump in 2015?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to agree with what the CDC report stated, is that we're seeing a lot of closures of STD clinics or other health providers that especially provide health care to lower-income men and women. Because, you know, with this increase, I think in general there's two causes. There's education and then there's care. And with closures and budget cuts to these programs, both the education as well as the direct physician-to-patient care is suffering.
These are curable diseases, the ones you mentioned, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, I believe all treatable with antibiotics. Is it maybe that people are starting to think these are nuisance diseases, I can take a pill, get over them, and not worry so much? I mean, are we getting blasé about these diseases?
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say from the patients that I've seen, especially with these diseases, I haven't seen that sentiment. But I think what is happening is these are easily transmissible, and then these are asymptomatic or often asymptomatic infections. So someone can go about their life for days, weeks, months, even years, and not know that they have this. And so, you know, with other sexual encounters and partners, they could be easily spreading this from person to person. But you're right in that these are easily treatable diseases. So thankfully, when someone is diagnosed, we can treat them. But until that they know they have them, this can be spread widely.
Right. And if somebody isn't diagnosed quickly, I mean, these are diseases that can have very serious consequences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For both gonorrhea and chlamydia, it can lead to an infection called, in women, pelvic inflammatory disease, which can lead to infertility. It can lead to chronic pain. And syphilis is even more scary. People can get severe health issues with syphilis. We're talking about organ failure. In its final stages, people can have dementia. Actually, for a little historical factoid, Al Capone had syphilis and ultimately died from it. And again, easily treatable disease. And with syphilis as well, this can be passed congenitally onto infants. And so babies can be born with lifelong problems due to a syphilis infection.
And with antibiotic treatable diseases, there are often antibiotic resistant strains. Is this something that is happening with any of these diseases?
I don't have accurate data about that. We are starting to see across the board some strains of multiple infections that can have some antibiotic resistance. But the CDC has not changed any of their treatment guidelines, and we're actually not currently screening these bacteria for resistance because overall that rate is still quite low.
So for screening, for a sexually active person in particular, how often do you recommend they get screened for these sexually transmitted diseases?
Yeah, so for sexually active people, especially in the highest risk groups, which tend to be people in their teens and their 20s, we recommend at least yearly screening. But if they have any changes in partners, we recommend getting rescreened with any change in a sexual partner.
And as far as birth control goes, I've read anecdotal suggestions anyway in reporting that suggest that some people think I'm on birth control, the pill, some other form of ongoing birth control. So that's all I need to worry about as long as I don't get pregnant. Are you seeing people ignoring, say, a condom as a anti-sexually transmitted disease option?
Yes, absolutely. I've seen this with my patients time and time again where a lot of the focus goes on the contraceptive piece but not in the disease-spreading piece of keeping one's health safe. So that's something I'm constantly reiterating time and time again, that, you know, even though you have an IUD or you have, you know, the birth control on board, you can still get an STD. So consistent and correct condom use is important. And I think this all points to kind of the education component piece of this as well, as people need to understand what's going to protect them and what's not going to protect them, and how to accurately use barrier methods of contraception, such as a condom.
Talking to Dr. Kristen Sharp. She's an OBGYN with UW Health, talking about increased transmission of sexually transmitted diseases. High numbers in the most recent data, 2015. Big increase in certain populations. Can you talk a little bit more, Dr. Sharp, about who should be particularly worried about this, both in terms of who's most at risk and who's most endangered if they get one of these conditions?
Right, and I think the people that are most at risk are the people that could have potentially the most harm done. So consistently, you know, throughout the country, most STDs occur in young people, the age group of 15 to 24. So these are going to be the ones at highest risk. And then, for example, with gonorrhea or chlamydia, if you have a young woman, for example, who gets a severe infection, she may have fertility issues down the road. She may have, you know, lifelong chronic pelvic pain from these infections. Other groups that are high risk are homosexual couples. So men who have sex with men are also at a high risk for these diseases. And we've noticed a significant uptick in STD rates among this population as well.
Did HIV, when we as a country started finally paying serious attention to it and treating it, did our efforts against HIV help for a while with these other sexually transmitted diseases?
Yeah, I think so. Because we know that the best method of preventing STD in a sexually active person is with barrier contraception. So a lot of kind of health education and resources went to really promoting safe sex health practices such as consistent condom use. So as a result, a lot of these other STDs were also protected against.
And do you think we're not paying as close attention to HIV? It certainly hasn't gone away as a problem, but it's not the epidemic it once was, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it got a lot of hype in, you know, the late 80s and the early 90s. It was, you saw it everywhere. It was constantly talked about on the news and in magazines. And there's definitely not the same attention that it got then. It's still out there. People, I think, still are relatively knowledgeable about that. But certainly there's been a lack of attention pointed towards that.
In terms of public health infrastructure, you mentioned a decline in the availability of clinics in some cases. What would you like to see? What do we need out there in terms of access to screening, testing, to contraception, and at barrier methods, as you mentioned, that we don't have now?
Right. I mean, I think one is just availability, wide availability of clinics, and clinics that are either free or affordable to people who have lower resources. As well, I think education goes into that too. And so that's, you know, trying to educate people even before they become sexually active about how do you prevent transmission of these diseases. If you are concerned or you need to get testing, where do you go? Because I see a lot of women who just don't even know where to go to get testing from. So having that information widely available and having accurate information online too, it's really scary. The information I find online sometimes that spreads a lot of myths about safe sex and STD prevention.
Unlike a lot of health conditions, the issue of STDs comes with moral dimensions, with political dimensions. Do you see among your patients maybe a reluctance to seek contraception or screening or treatment because of moral issues associated with sexuality?
Yes, I have. I think it's been a barrier for seeking care. I think it's been a barrier for people talking about this and trying to get more information. Despite the kind of scientific knowledge that we have about STDs and safe sex practices, it still continues to be a barrier.
And then education in schools. This is another, I'm sure you know, a long-running argument.
Absolutely.
In this country. And that's ended up with an incredible patchwork. What one school does might be radically different from another school, between states, between districts, within districts.
Right.
Are there certain basics that you really wish could be in every school's sex ed program?
Yeah, I mean, I think just knowledge of what are these STDs, what is safe sex, you know, what are different methods of both barrier contraception as well as other forms of contraception. And, you know, I know historically there's been a big push for some abstinence-only education, which abstinence is absolutely important, and it's absolutely a method of preventing disease and preventing pregnancy. But for a lot of people, you know, when they make the decision to become sexually active, they need to have that education and then the tools and the knowledge of where to go or who to talk to make sure that they're keeping themselves safe.
You mentioned clinics available to people with low income. Probably that would include, I imagine, Planned Parenthood clinics. I don't want to put you on a political spot here, but has a decline of Planned Parenthood clinics been part of the decline in access to these STD prevention screenings and education?
I would say absolutely. A lot of the services, actually the majority of services that Planned Parenthood provides is, you know, STD education and prevention, as well as cancer screening, such as for cervical cancer and doing pap smears. So with the decline of availability of clinics to provide these resources, we're going to, I fear, continue to see a rise in this.
With this news, this report out from the CDC, looking at, I mean, alarming, I think it's a pretty big increase in some sexually transmitted diseases. Are you seeing people take this as a wake-up call to try to get more education, screening, treatment out there?
I think for a medical community, absolutely. I think we need to continue to also promote this amongst patients and say, you know, this is a big problem. We're actually, they're seeing the highest number of STDs they've ever seen before since they've begun collecting this information. So hopefully this can be a wake-up call for people to say, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to tell my children? What, you know, how do we kind of promote this message of how to stay safe and how to get screened? Because again, if you don't have symptoms of these things, you may not know that you have these until you get screened. And by that point, there may be some serious consequences from this infection.
Dr. Sharp, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Kristen Sharp, an OBGYN at UW Health, talking about why rates of sexually transmitted disease have been on the rise, a big jump in CDC data out last year, or from last year, just out recently, talking about possible solutions to that as well.